Ingram, Bosa, both on that side. Here they come. Manning stands tall, all kinds of time. Now scrambling, middle of the field, picked off, intercepted by the Chargers. Trey Boston falls down near midfield, and all that stands between the Chargers and their first victory of the season is a knee.
David, football, football, David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
A knee. We know famous people.
We do.
You know what stunk about that?
Hold on a second. Hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program. I hope all's well wherever you are. Studio 66, populated by the football glitterati. You just heard his voice there. Then you just heard it again here. That's Matt Money Smith. Then you heard Cindy Freeland.
Blondes on the outside.
We're going to say hello to everybody. It's all happening, though. Trey Boston, we kibitzed with him about a month ago. He gave us his sack predictions for Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. I do want to talk about that in just a second. And also... It's Hugh Jackman's birthday.
Happy birthday to me.
It was a couple of years ago I kibitzed with him in front of his Wolverine picture, and it was weird to me that, you know, he's the Wolverine, and yet he doesn't know the Michigan Wolverines fight song, so I corrected that for him. Take a listen.
As Wolverine, do you know the Michigan fight song?
I don't know it. I want to know it. I don't know it. No,
that's, that's like a lady named Roxanne knowing that the police have a song about
her. Can you come on, give it to me, man.
All right, let's sing it. It's Hail to the Victors Valiant, Hail to the Conquering Heroes, Hail
to the Wolverines are gonna come out on May 23rd. That's the one, isn't it?
I like where you were going with that. Yeah, that was
Wolverine
good.
And X-Men, May 23rd. We're going to crush it.
Dave. Dave.
So there you go.
You did a great
better
job
man
with that,
for
Dave.
His
Lord's work.
You're a good teacher.
That's what you're doing there, Dave.
Hey,
it's a
Monty,
great theme song. The Michigan fight song.
You think that's number one?
It's right up there. Although I will say, against Michigan State, whenever Michigan State's fight song comes on, there's a great part where they like kind of yell something mean. They kind of yell something mean like in the middle of it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't
like,
know what it
weak! Is. Weak! Because they like, see their team is weakening.
Oh. Hey, they're allowed to do it.
Game.
I love it, though.
I love that little regional. Both of those are great. They're great.
The regional intrigue, though.
It's Notre Dame. It's probably Notre Dame or... Look, there's plenty.
Notre Dame.
See, now I start thinking.
Domers.
What? Notre Dame's got a great find.
You find Army's MVP?
Yeah.
See if you can dig up Army's. That's the most underrated. Dun, dun. No, that's not Army.
We've done this before.
That's Fight On. That's Fight On for Old SC.
Hail
the Pit, hail the Pit, all you loyal sons, hail the Pit. Anyway.
I think Wyoming's. He's a rootin' tootin' highfalutin' son of a gun from old Wyoming.
Yeah.
That one's a great
pretty
one.
Pretty good.
We have to dig up the Oklahoma State one, too. We are Cowboys forever. Do you and by the way, let's say hello to everybody. We'll start over there since we heard.
Quickly, by the way, shame on you, Ben McAdoo, for calling your last time out. So all they had to do was not take a knee.
Yeah,
take two knees.
Perfect.
I was like, darn it. You ruined it all, Ben.
He screwed
really
that voice.
Messed me up there.
Let's say hello to him now. He is the radio voice for the Los Angeles Chargers. Off the Schneid, now headed up to the East Bay for a big one in the AFC West. You also listen to him, one half of the finest radio show in all the land, Petros and Money. It's Matt Money Smith, everybody.
Skinny legs, a golden voice, a play-by-play analyst.
All right, that's more than enough. Then let's keep going around the wheel here. The other half of the brand new NFL media podcast, Game Theory and Money, aka
my favorite podcast on
lies.
Not true.
Media. Yep,
it's your favorite podcast,
yeah. As opposed to the one that you're on,
bar none,
every week. Or do you not include this one? Is this the
NBA? This one.
Boy, oh boy. Well, you and Dave can deal with that after the pod here, I guess.
Any
awkward start to this one.
I'm trying to be honest. Dave, it says no jive right on the door.
All right. Well,
that's
just
say rule
following
number one.
Your own rules.
And there is
Hanks.
Only one rule.
Handsome Hank's favorite NFL media podcast, Free Money, Cindy Freeland.
Oh.
No, that's enough. I'm not going to listen.
Get Marianne's name in here.
I'm not going to indulge that. Not after
wow.
Handsome Hank. Well, you and Handsome
you just,
Hank
you just,
and Matt
wow.
Money Smith can go skip through the dandelions together when you're all done to that tune if you
why
want.
Why don't you just throw Hank out of the country? Why don't you just make him leave the country
fine,
for a little
I will.
While?
I can do that now. I think that's law. I'm not
really?
Sure. I'm not up to speed on exactly what I'm allowed to do, but I think I can ban you.
Beat it, bloke.
I think so.
Bloke.
I can at least bar you from re-entering after you get back from your upcoming trip to London. Handsome Hank, always out there spreading the good word about pro football across the seven seas. He is London's favorite son and our resident Miami Dolphins fan. Handsome Hank.
That's enough.
That's it. You don't. That's all. You're lucky I gave
handsome
you that.
Handsome Ha.
You're lucky I gave you that
thank
much.
Thank you very much, Dave.
All right, let's get it.
I apologize. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
I mean, you said what you said.
He's so nice. Aw.
Yeah, sometimes the words can hurt, Hannah.
Don't let this rough exterior fool you. I'm all tender on the inside.
All right, so coming up here, a few things. We're going to do our Red Challenge flag picks, some good games to peruse there. We got Handsome Hank's topic of choice coming up. Big Ben, how should he, what's going on there this week? Ike Taylor weighed in on it earlier in the week. Obviously, he knows a thing or two about what goes on in that Steelers locker room. So his words merit your attention. I encourage you, Nate Demand, that you go back and dig that one up. Also, in that episode from earlier this week, a lot of great feedback on the reimagining, I guess, of our pal Colleen Wolf and John Gonzalez when they first fell in love. Phillies.
Good stuff.
Tremendous.
A script by MVP that has now become iconic already in 1 week's time.
It really is amazing.
So go back and listen. I've tweeted it out, and it's on Facebook and everything else.
It's say it's notebook level.
I would agree.
You know, I think that's fair. The notebook level.
The notebook. That's what I'm talking about.
Not
the
just
film.
Any
the notebook. The notebook.
Do
yes.
you worry that this kind of, you know, giving Emma this type of platform that you are means that eventually one of the big studios that are based, you know, just a few miles up the road from here could just poach her?
Well, I mean, I think to be fair, I think she would be the first one to tell you she's always been an unwieldy monster. You know, like, so, I mean, I've. Is this going to be a new shade to MVP
right.
that she's suddenly going to be difficult to deal with, you know, thinks a lot of herself? No, I mean, I've been dealing with that since day one.
You've accepted this as a stepping
sure.
stone.
True.
This is not a permanent residence.
Right.
My head is a stepping stone, as the Free Money podcast also suggests. Look.
Or you're just you are the spark that ignites us all.
As I say. What you guys
exactly what you
launch
want.
Yourself to the stars on my head, and then on your way down, I'll still be sitting here waiting for you.
Yep.
Still be here. Same old spot.
Same old, yeah,
old
still here.
Old Dave. All right, let's kibitz about Trey Boston's prediction. Money, I'm interested in your thoughts on this one because the Chargers, as it stands now, things would have to break right for them, I think, starting in week six, or I guess they started to go in the Chargers' direction with that victory up in New York last week. But they still have a long way to go to be relevant in that division. The Chiefs, though, hosting Pittsburgh, it's conceivable that they would lose that game. And the Chargers going up to Oakland, that's the first order business. Can they go up there with Derek Carr and defeat that team? And the other side of this, but I'm throwing many questions
sure.
at you. But I think what I'm really getting at is, if you're Derek Carr, isn't this a tough game to come back
it's
to?
The worst game.
Bosa and Ingram, he's going to be – he's a human being after all, and he wants to be out there and playing with the bad back and everything, and he's got the break in his spine. Is that what it is? It's in his spine?
It's called
probably?
A fracture, so it's a spinal fracture.
It's
vertebrae.
Vertebrae.
Yeah.
It seems like of all the teams I wouldn't want to be going up against right now, it's the Chargers.
It's probably the best tandem of pass rushers going in the league. Pretty hard to argue against that, I think.
Do you remember back in, what was that, 2006, maybe 2007, Roethlisberger came back probably a little too early from the appendectomy. And all night long, he wanted to be out there and moxie, and I want to, you know, tough guy for my team and everything. And that all was well and good until the Jags pass rush got on him. And all night long, I remember watching him throw and covering up to dodge getting hit in that spot. Isn't Derek Carr? I wonder if this is the best move for the Raiders.
I think it's I don't want to say it's a desperate move, but I think – I mean, they would not let their, you know, $100 million man go out there if they thought there was long-term damage potential. But maybe he's coming back. You know, if they win last week or if they're not on a three-game losing streak, maybe he says, you know, one more week might be best for me, especially with Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa, the best pass-rushing tandem in the league that are just crushing guys, not to mention – I mean, just the size of Bosa. The idea of that guy falling on you or picking you up and twisting you in directions that you don't want to be twisted, it's not ideal. And also, it's been a leaky offensive line, unlike last year when it was one of the best in the league. Right. It is weird. And it's not the interior, it's the tackles. It's worst case. It really is kind of the worst matchup possible for him. But I do think it's a product of them being 2-3. The Broncos are 3-1. The Chiefs are 5-0. And they recognize they got to win this game. I mean, this is, like you said, it's only week six, but this is as big a game as it is for the Chargers to keep their very slim hopes of participating in the postseason alive. It's just as big for the Raiders.
Handsome. That's what I'm getting at here. You know, I mock those who call anything a must win other mm-hmm. than a game. That a loss ends your season.
Yep.
However,
in the AFC
if we were going to apply in early October the phrase must win game to the Raiders, at least because a lot of people had them as their Super Bowl representative for the AFC and everything else, they're looking at 2-4 here with a team in their division that's undefeated right now.
And a Broncos team that doesn't appear to have too many weaknesses either.
Right. So what do you think here? Are you concerned going into this one for the Oakland Raiders?
I am concerned for the Oakland Raiders, and I'm concerned for Carr as well, because I think that's the kind of injury you don't recover from during the football season. It's not one where a month from now he's going to be feeling better about it. If you continue to get thrown on the turf, which is part of the job description for a quarterback, the next time his back isn't going to be bothering him is probably next April.
Well, it's an indictment, not a surprising one, of E.J. Manuel, who didn't look terrible.
He did look terrible.
I think he... All right.
He looked terrible.
You're just trying to be nice. You're trying to be nice to the young man.
Maybe different
to my expectations, I guess, weren't terribly high for him. But Handsome, go ahead. Money's not going to pick it because he's going to do his weirdo thing like, I've got to call the game.
So, I would just pick the Chargers. That's all I would do. And everybody's saying,
this game
stinking homer.
Our big pick's coming up later in the show.
But I know. I'm going to pick the Raiders.
Cindy Freeland, let's turn to you now.
If Carr plays, Raiders win. If Carr doesn't play, Raiders lose.
Well, it sounds like Carr is playing. David Carr, to name drop, says, oh, no, he's out there. He said that is...
That's a pretty good source.
Well, he said that as early as Monday. He said, oh, yeah.
I think he's definitely going to be out there, but my guess is that it could be like a Sam Bradford situation, is they'll put him out there. If he's taking some incoming and that offensive line is not helping him out and he's getting hit by Bosa or Ingram, I would imagine they'll get him the hell out of
there. He's not a robot that you just throw him out onto the field and he's going to deliver...
Robot.
He's going to deliver the typical effort. He's going to be spooked by that pass rush.
He's not a rowboat that can just pull right out of there.
He's
Cynthia.
Not a
he
robot.
Can't just
robot.
Paddle away.
He's not a robot.
What? People, robot. People say robot. How are you supposed to say the word
robot?
Robot. Is that better?
Robot.
Robot.
Speaking of which.
All right.
Speaking of which. I like the Marshawn Lynch factor in this one. I think this is a Marshawn Lynch game. This is an opportunity.
That's the path to
if
win.
If he's back. If Marshawn Lynch, you know, the broken tackles, you know, the Marshawn Lynch beast mode, if he can show up, that's the key to this game, kind of irrespective of if Derek Carr is 100% or, you know, good enough to be out there. I don't think this is Derek Carr tip-top back is feeling rad situation. I think it's a Marshawn Lynch, just, you know, exploit the fact that the Chargers are, you know, 32 against rushing yards allowed, so that means the most in the league, and go with that route.
All right. I'm playing a hunch. And this
what's your
purely anecdotal, a.k.a. Reckless speculation by Dave here. I just feel like over the course, I don't know. See, I don't have the numbers. See, I'm not tethered to numbers that can disprove.
Right. I'm tethered to them. I can't do anything but numbers.
I wildly speculate, Cindy Freeland. It's liberating, you see.
Mm-hmm. Heart versus brain.
I feel like
right,
Phil
heart.
Rivers.
You don't have much brain, but you got a lot of heart.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Now,
quite the compliment.
I feel like Phil Rivers kind of rides the roller coaster of momentum throughout his career.
Rad.
And I feel like they could get hot. And it was last week against the Giants. Was that a blip? And now they're just going to be a bad team this season, and they're just going to be hard luck again.
Or might the Chargers catch fire with 17 and company? You know, I could see that. I absolutely could see that being the storyline emerging from Oakland. Like, what's going on with the Raiders? Everybody thought they were going to be good. Meantime, here come the Chargers. And what if the Chiefs were to lose? All of a sudden, this would be an exciting
story. What if the Chiefs were
to
lose five games? What are you talking about? What do you mean?
No, lose this game.
One game.
Well, so it's over? The Chiefs have the division?
No, my point is
wrapped
that
up?
I'm not saying that they have it wrapped up, but this is a very tricky division. You still got Denver.
I know.
At 3-1, hosting the Giants and their depleted receiver corps. No, I know what you're saying. I think you look at the
opportunity is very hard there.
My point is again, everybody gets swept up, and there are always these examples. You can play this.
The Dolphins were 2-4 last year. I mean, they were 2-4.
Weren't the Vikings 5-0, or were they just 4-0? Were they 5-0?
I think they were 5-0.
They were 5-0.
Yeah, and it fell apart.
The Vikings are 4-0. They might have the number one seed. Oh, all paths go through Minnesota to the Super. This is what happens. It's early October still, everybody.
If there's one thing we've learned this week from another form of football, it's that even if you think you've got things locked up, you can still lose it and not make it to the World Cup. So, I mean, there was like all these, like, there's a very low percentage chance that the
too soon.
Never too soon.
Are you emotionally overwrought about this money? Are you one of these people?
A little bit.
Are you really?
Yeah.
It's a bummer. A
little bit. I love the World Cup. And even if the team, the men's national team gets housed in group stage and they tie one game and lose five, you know, like they have the last couple World Cups, then whatever. At least you're still invested in the run-up to the World Cup and the World Cup itself.
I love when you have to get up at like 4 a.m. to watch those games. Like, that makes me happy. So.
I love it too.
And I have a T-shirt that says Group of Death that I can't wear now this year.
Nope.
Far be it for me to denigrate what you care about just because I'm apathetic about it. I cast aspersions earlier this week on the Star Wars hating cools out there who have it's unlike, I think, almost anything else that when some Star Wars news happens that the haters have to go on social media and announce, just so you know, I don't care for this. I'm disinterested. I don't hate it. I just have no opinion on it, everybody. Now do with that information what
now
you
go
will.
Back to freaking out over a so 2-minute piece of film.
Yeah, I don't want to make fun. Well, now listen, I love the Star Wars pictures, you know.
So do I.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, I absolutely do. How can you not? That's what I don't get. How can you not like them? They are the most unoffensive.
It's not about not liking them. It's about being perceived as not liking them, because that makes you in some way more interesting.
Just so you know, before this conversation goes on for another second, I don't care about it.
Okay. Thanks for telling us, everyone.
You'll be doing something else then.
I'm not one of these people like, oh, soccer. Who cares about soccer?
But.
I get it.
Here comes the but.
This isn't soccer specific. Oh. Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass. Put on the headphones there for a second.
He's eating.
Because our pal Sully, who produces the Move the Stick show and makes appearances here periodically to share his...
We haven't seen Sully in a long time.
No,
okay?
I think it's time that he join us for his special brand.
He's probably fishing.
I had a good idea. He periodically compares produce to NFL position
unsuccessfully.
Groups and everything. Yes, unsuccessfully.
Wildly unsuccessfully.
Yeah. Yeah, it's embarrassing. But forget that. Spaghetti, pull up the tweet, if you could, that Sully retweeted out there. I mean, see if you can dig this one up. I'm not making fun of caring about soccer on this level. I'm making fun of caring about anything on this level. The tweet that Sully put out there.
Oh, yeah, no, I wasn't emotionally affected. I love watching Christian Pulisic play soccer, and the idea that a 19-year-old American is crushing it for Borussia Dortmund right now. Like, I love that. Like, that is as exciting as someone who's watched, you know, international soccer for a lot since I studied abroad and fell in love with the beautiful game. To actually have a young man born and raised Hershey, Pennsylvania, Dave.
Is that right?
He's yeah.
a PA guy.
He is a Hershey
Dave
PA guy. Hop the pond, school in Germany, learn the language in a year, become not only a national hero for us, but for the fine country of Germany, our ally with old Angela Merkel. Not Angela, Angela.
Angela, and don't get that wrong.
And the fact that he won't be on that global stage in the world, because he's that special. I mean, he is something. It bums me out that he won't have that opportunity.
I don't understand why it takes so long for the U.S. to catch up on soccer. It's been almost my whole life that people have been saying, like, oh, this is the next big sport in the U.S. all right, it's been 40 years now, everybody. Let's get with it. How hard can it be to get good at any sport with our population and our resources?
I grew up abroad.
To develop talent.
I grew up abroad.
But
so
think about some of the tiny countries that have dominant teams.
I know.
You know?
So given our population and our resources, as I say.
But I mean, like France missed the World Cup in 94. And the UK has been shut out or England's been shut out for how long of a World Cup? But I think what happens is in the U.S., you know, for so long, it wasn't about becoming a professional. It was about getting a scholarship. You know, hey, we're going to play soccer, and I'm going to get a scholarship to play D1, and I'm going to get a full ride, and I'm going to get my education, and I'm going to go on to do whatever it is that I do. Whereas in every other country, you are on this track to being a professional soccer player from the time you're 5 years old. And we just don't have that type of system here.
It just seems like I grew up with people playing soccer from the age of 7 on. All right, Spaghetti, go ahead. Read the tweet that was issued the night of the U.S.
This is in the moment. Yeah. Emotionally vulnerable Sully. Vulnerable.
No, this is not from Sully. This is from the American Outlaws Twitter account, which is the group he's a part of.
Sully and some other people here at the NFL media gang have a little passion project called U.S. Soccer.
Love
and
it.
It's called
Old
American
U.S.
Outlaws.
Soccer. They took the name U.S. Soccer.
No. They call it at American Outlaws. Okay. But it's got like 180,000 people following it, so it's not a small little club project that they're doing here. Go ahead. Read the tweet.
So this is the tweet. Sign off social media. Hug a fan and or a friend. There's work to do tomorrow. We love you. Hashtag AO family.
So it's I mean, one line more sober than the preceding.
I can't do social media right now. I can't do it.
I've been off all week.
That's so great.
Sign off social media. Hug a friend.
No family.
That's so
There's
good.
Work to be done in the morn. We love you.
What? Hashtag.
What happened?
Did Sully write that himself?
I'm not making fun of a soccer fan.
You should make fun of that.
I love the
most
Steelers
definitely make
and the
fun
Penguins.
Of that.
I've never issued a tweet after a tough Steelers loss, even in a season ender. Hug someone.
Excuse me, random stranger. I'm going to give you a hug. Why? The men's national team lost.
This seems a little
Trinidad and Tobago.
We're not laughing at you, Sully.
No,
We're
I am. I actually am.
Handsome. Now let's get to. I'm taking the Chargers too. I just wanted to. One more thing on that game.
Two.
You're the only one who.
Money.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Right, we're splitting this room.
Got it.
MVP. One thing I did want to late in August, we paid a visit down to the Chargers at training camp, and we solicited the prediction of one Trey Boston, a delightful fella, and we have to catch up with him again soon. But Boston, we asked him for his prediction on who's going to have more sacks on the Chargers. Who's going to have more sacks?
Oh man, don't do that to
no,
me.
No, do it. Guess. Say one or the other, because there's only one correct.
One or the other.
Right.
Don't tell Melvin, but I think Bose, man. Bose is just I think it's going to be like something like, 15 to 14. You know, it's going to be like, something real close.
So, right now, Ingram updates 7.5 sacks to Bosa's 4.5. Either way, they're combining.
Each had 2 against the Giants.
Well, and they're also tracking in a historic direction. If they keep this pace, I think they fall a half a sack short of the combined total of – dang. Now I can't think of who it is. I don't remember whose record they're
Reggie chasing. White and
I think it's Peppers. Who was
Julius
it?
Peppers
Strahan
and
Emanuera.
Julius Peppers. Who would have been opposite him in Carolina?
I'm trying to think of who it was. Anywho, the point is historic stuff so far from Ingram and Bosa, and on a team that only has one win, I like this just because we decide the reason that we are with the Raiders at this point, making excuses for them in the same way that the top 25 in college football continues to support a team that has a loss early and they keep them in the top 10. This is self-validating stuff there. The Raiders have not, to this point, I don't think looked like the team that everybody thought was going to win the AFC.
It's based on last year. I mean, we're still believing in the Raiders because of what we saw last year as opposed to what we've seen thus far this year.
And with the Chargers, we see, they're an embarrassment. They were 0-for until last week when they beat the 0-for Giants, except for the fact that we go back to the start of the season. This is a team that should be 3-2 right now as they go into this
They've got their own issues. I mean, that they need, like any team that's 1-4 would. But, they... They got, you know, they got their kicker situation sorted out. You know, Nick Novak gets signed midweek, connects on two field goals, makes all his extra points. No issues there. You know, I think that's certainly settling. And Melvin Gordon, I think, was challenged all week long last week going into that game. There was a lot of talk about Austin Eckler after that 35-yard run with a touchdown and how explosive he looks, and he can pick up blitz. And I think you saw Melvin run with a violence that we have not seen in over a year. And that is what Anthony Lynn wants. You know, that's the way he wants this team built, run the ball. Good luck dealing with Bosa and Ingram. And it would be funny if, you know, the way the schedule laid out, right, three home games in the first quarter, and then in the second quarter you have to go to New York, go to New England, play the Broncos at home, go to Oakland. If they were to flip that and maybe get out of this at 3-5, then you'd probably feel pretty darn good going into the third quarter of the season. Like, okay, this team is as talented as we thought they were.
And you know, the Raiders, this will be fascinating because if on Sunday night the conversation is, what, they're 2-4, you know? Handsome, let's get to it now. It's your weekly topic of choice.
What topic of choice.
Dave, this week.
We need some music.
You need some music.
Or maybe. Oh,
there we go.
I was going to say maybe.
Hello and welcome to the Handsome Hank topic of choice with your host, Mrs. Hodgson's favorite son,
Henry.
Henry! What are we talking about today?
Shut up, Mom! I'm doing a podcast!
It's my fourth favorite in NFL media!
Third favorite, Dave.
Oh, okay, good.
Third favorite.
Go ahead.
Dave, my topic of choice today is second chances.
Oh.
And specifically for you.
Okay.
Because famously...
Do I need a second?
You do, I'll explain why. Famously, for the last 11 years in a row, you've predicted the Steelers' record.
That's
correctly.
Right.
I think the three of us sat in here with you when you, to a drum roll, unveiled the 13-3 prediction for the Steelers' record this year.
Right.
I want to make sure that you get a second chance because I don't want you to lose this incredible record. Mm. Are you sticking with 13-3?
Ooh,
Steelers?
Look at this. Ooh, I love it.
Or are you going to...
What a subtle way to humiliate the host of this podcast through 5 weeks of football.
Hey, my old man.
Hey.
Growing up, my old man.
Growing up.
Would teach me life lessons on the links.
Right.
You know, on the mean streets of Pittsburgh. On the mean cold streets of Pittsburgh.
They were, huh?
Where, you know.
Your neighborhood.
That's right.
Mean streets.
Yeah, we would go out.
What's your father's occupation, by the way?
We would go out. He was a healer.
A doctor. Yes.
He would take me out onto the links.
Right.
Old links.
He would say, see all those guys on the other side of the fence, those filthy mill workers? Don't you ever befriend their children.
And he would teach me life lessons.
Right.
And he said, listen to me. Don't be one of these people. Who goes out there. Now, listen, a mulligan off the first tee, if you didn't hit hit a couple first, maybe you take a mulligan. Maybe if that's your first swing of the day. After that, don't be one of these people, these mentally weak people who on the fourth hole, because the ball went into the rough, you turn it over for a better lie. You're only doing yourself a disservice with that lie. Changing your lie is a lie. And who's the lie to? The man in the mirror, not just your scorecard, but to your own dignity. And it's going to end up coming back to bite you. Mm. I'm not going to take a mulligan here. 13-3. Why, handsome? Because I hope that Big Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't mean for the cameras, all this hokum, and it's a little weird that Roethlisberger says, hey, the Gatorade bucket thing and my retirements, this and that, wouldn't be a story if you guys would stop talking about these things.
You know, it would be a story if we didn't
He has to stop talking about it.
His passer rating under pressure.
Right.
Goose egg.
Well, and also his road splits are another matter that we could cover.
At least he's only playing in the most adverse of conditions this week when it comes to a road venue.
You know what? That's exactly right.
Oh, stack it all
up. You know what? That's exactly right, money. Let me tell you, you want to talk about emotional fortitude, strength in the brain when your backs are to the wall? We talk about it all the time. There has not been a team in sports, in any professional sport, in the U.S. at least, that has won a championship in which in the celebratory locker room after the fact, it wasn't announced. No one outside this locker room believed in us. Well, I think the Steelers have successfully created that vibe now. No one believes in us. It's us against the world, all that stuff. You know what they need to do? And I don't care if there's a camera in the room. Just do it for the other 52, number seven. Give the Jim Fossil speech in 2010.
So if you got the crosshairs, you got the laser, you can put it right on my chest. I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stakes right now. If this is a poker game, I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
Super Bowl. That's the only thing he has to change. Forget playoffs. The standard is a little bit higher. That's what he should do. That's how he rallies the guys in the locker room. That's how he wins them back.
I got a question.
That's a great speech.
It is a great speech. Is AB putting this on Periscope or is it on Facebook Live?
But Dave, so the other part of my topic of choice is that's one thing. So you're sticking with your prediction. The margin for error if they lose this weekend is zero.
One. Right. Right. If they lose this weekend, they must run the table.
The other thing that you're famous for saying is
they got the talent in that locker room.
The other thing that you're famous for saying, and I have evidence to back it up, is that anytime we have a conversation about quarterbacks, you immediately need to insert Ben Roethlisberger into the top three quarterbacks. Emma, have you got evidence of this?
That's not fair.
I second.
Russell Wilson is the gold standard of that.
He's been to two Super Bowls. He won one, and he nearly won a second one.
Thing, but it is the same thing as Roethlisberger. Oh, that was the defense. You're forgetting or maybe didn't get to see Roethlisberger in the first half of his career when he was super athletic.
I most certainly did.
So you have Tom Brady one, and then, well, of course, you could just throw in Russell Wilson and Roethlisberger.
Tom Brady? Heard of him.
All right, Ben Roethlisberger ain't half bad. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Ben Roethlisberger.
Is it just, do people it's just only bait Ben Roethlisberger? They don't bait any other quarterback?
I don't know.
You worry about his ability to move beyond, like, first and second reads, but he's super talented.
Same things you would say about Cam Newton and Ben Roethlisberger. Name for me all the QBs that you would rather have than Russell Wilson under center, knowing nothing else about the personnel that's going to be out there. I mean, after Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, and maybe Ben Roethlisberger at this point, I don't know.
That was a week that ago. Is, that happened a week ago.
That is spectacular.
Guess what? No one outside this locker room, aside from Dave Damashek, believes in us, guys.
In Ben Roethlisberger.
That's right. I'm not going to apologize for that. Not for a man who's been to three Super Bowls and won two of them.
So is he still the third best quarterback in the NFL right now?
You know what? We'll see you on Sunday.
I think
you should answer that
question. That's a good question.
Right now. No jive in this studio, right? Rank the quarterbacks in 2017.
A week ago, he was number three on your list.
No. That was exactly the opposite of what I said. What I said was, is Russell Wilson the third best quarterback behind Brady and
Rodgers? Pushed back. And then you pushed back with Ben Roethlisberger.
I said you could make a case.
Oh, don't you play semantics with us, Damashek. Where is he? Rank the QBs, Damashek.
You're right. You're right. Alex Smith is better than he is.
Okay.
All right. Let's play that game.
I see your facetiousness. You want to play that game?
I don't know. Well, I'd love to hear. I'd love to. I mean, it's fun to play. Who's better than he is?
You have a chance right now to swap out
quarterbacks on the Steelers so you get your precious 13-3 record.
Mm-hmm. Who you gonna,
give us,
who
give us the pick? Quarterbacks you would swap Ben out for right now to help you get and keep your record intact. This is more important than your allegiance to Ben and what he's delivered for the city of Pittsburgh. This is your reputation, your record, your streak, Damashek, and you get – it's not a mulligan.
Couple of guys who wear 12.
Rodgers.
Aforementioned.
Brady.
Greats, yep. You know, all-time greats.
Russell Wilson, yeah, you taking true. Russell Wilson this year? You get to plug him in instead of Ben. Yes or no?
I'm a shoulder shrug. You know what? I think a little fire's been lit under seven, maybe of his own making or otherwise, and I think you're about to see the real seven come down the stretch.
I'm back next week, right? I'm back here next week. I'm on the schedule.
You know what? Let's revisit it. For now.
Which seven?
We'll table.
A different one? It's another seven. We like that.
Yep, 13-3.
Number three.
13-3.
You know what?
What?
Yeah, he was trying to
make
down.
I was going to make it official that number
seven
equals
number three.
Number three.
Number three in the NFL.
Who makes the three from the bottom
Who
up?
Who does a three from the bottom? I've never seen that.
That was weird.
Bombfell is an online personal styling service that helps men find the right clothes for them. It's simple. It's straightforward. All you have to do is complete a questionnaire, and a dedicated personal stylist will handpick pieces specifically for you. Handsome or Ooh. Money or you, Dave, the man in the
Especially
mirror.
Especially you, Dave.
Well, I mean, I don't.
He's got his own style.
That. Yeah. I think I look nice. I put myself together pretty well.
You picked that shirt up off you know the floor what I think? This morning and
no,
said
I
this will look great.
I think it's fascinating always when it comes to fashion that to realize as you walk through your day, look around and realize that everybody you see looked in the mirror before they walked out their front door and said, yep, this is it. Maybe you
except
be,
you.
Maybe you should. Maybe you shouldn't be in control. Maybe you should turn it over to.
It's actually a great bit of advice.
That's yeah. right.
I think it's a great bit of advice. I support it wholeheartedly, Dave.
Bombfell. Once you've viewed your selections, you have 48 hours, in fact, Ooh. To make any changes or cancel it altogether. You're in control, and you have the option of receiving clothes once a month, once every 2 months, once every 3 months. Bombfell on your side, because they don't make money if you don't find something you want to keep. Turn it over to them. Best of all, we've negotiated with Bombfell to give our DDFP listeners a special offer of $25 off your first purchase when you go to bombfell.com/Dave. That's spelled how, Handsome? D-A-V-E.
D-A-V-E. Right?
That's Bombfell, spelled B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L.com/Dave.
/Dave, D-A-V-E.
Thank you again, Bombfell. Open and clothes. Get it? Clothes?
Oh, yeah. Clothes.
Open.
C-L-O-T-H-E-S.
Sorry, say it again.
Got it.
Say it again. Open and clothes.
Open and clothes. Can I really do this, hey. MVP? I'm going to try this. I would
Absolutely.
Like to.
I'm doing it right now for you. I got you wider in stomach. I got you 5'11", 215. Is that right?
What a jerk. What a 124-pound bully named Matt Money.
All right, I'll get you down to 205. Fine, be
the
there.
Waist size is 42.
I got waist size.
I don't have to sit here
42, really?
In this manner.
Is it really?
Yeah, easily.
Yeah, I what's his
no, I'm down to a 40.
26.
30?
I'm down to a 40 waist.
26.
We'll go 42, 34, and bang, next. Oh, here we
Ooh,
go.
Look at this.
Budget.
He loves T-shirts.
Wow. How about that, man? What a budget you can get on.
Wow.
Stuff is affordable. Wonderful. All right. You're going to hit next here.
On that.
They're going to even, what do you think? Well, what look, do we want to do here?
Nice style.
Casual, classic, preppy. Is there an un-iron
I think he's more of a casual.
Is there an un-iron style?
Maybe you should get him non-casual. He probably has a ton of casual already.
I'm going to go casual. No, it's his
preppy.
Style.
Preppy, I think.
You want to go preppy, well,
preppy
for Dave?
Preppy. Preppy for Dave.
Give it a nice.
Is there a category that's.
What, Alex Keaton, nice knit tie coming in the mail.
What would you like never wear?
Alex P. Keaton.
Skinny jeans is something that Dave should never wear.
Yes, he should never wear. And currently, the brands that he wears. Let's see.
Diesel. A lot of
yeah, I wear a lot of diesel.
A lot of diesel. There we go.
All right, set him up.
All right, you're all set. Bombfell coming for you.
25.
You're going to be a bombshell with Bombfell.
Dave, 25. What was that, $25 off or 25% off? What's the deal you negotiate?
$25 off. Dig that. If you go
perfect.
There. Bombfell, bombfell.com/Dave, D-A-V-E.
Hey, I'm punching it in right now.
$25 off.
Current favorite shopping place is Tommy Bahama.
We put that in there.
I love the Hawaiian shirt.
How do you do?
All right, let's get to it.
All
now,
right.
Shall we? Let's do the Red Challenge flag picks.
Red Challenge flag picks! Hey!
Woo! Another one.
I forgot what I was going to say.
I know.
You did. You gave the woo.
Boy.
Was that what it was?
Yeah, that was yours. You did the Ric Flair
oh,
woo.
I thought I did it last.
Yeah. You're like Johnny Rotten, though, with the sing in their hands.
Thanks.
Honey. I am an antichrist.
I'm worried.
Die.
I'm worried. We don't have any Red Challenge flags.
It's all right. I got this big thing of wipes. I'll just throw it at your head.
Oh, yeah. MVP or whoever. Can we get some help? We need the Red Challenge flag picks if we're going to make the Red Challenge
How
flag
are we supposed
picks.
To, you know, that's what pro- that's what producing is.
Oh, look. It's Eddie Spaghetti.
He's
go.
In here.
Oh, look. Who's that?
It's
look
Derek Cheater.
Cheetah.
Yeah, it's Cheetah.
Cheetah was wicked awesome.
Look who decided
Yankees
to be
won
a
last
Yankee
night.
Fan
I'm going to wear
today.
My Cheetah jersey to work. Everybody's going to know I'm a Yankee fan, right?
These soccer right? nerds. I got to work with these soccer nerds. What are the Yanks? The Yanks are chasing another flag.
You see that at
bat? Another flag.
Did you see that 9-pitch at bat? It was unreal.
Dude, I mean, this guy.
Didi Gregorius. That's who's taking over for Cheetah. We had no, it was seamless at shortstop.
DD is the man, yo. DD also, I mean, by the way, Spaghetti tweeted out for people to read, because he meant this the other day, that I honestly believe that when the Yanks are playing good ball, the Yankee Stadium is the loudest stadium in the world.
Thanks, Spaghetti. Thanks for that one.
It's not true, Spaghetti.
That was pretty mean, Dave. Just the inflection you had there was pretty mean. I think he's going to be, you know, when you say when you somebody's going to look in the mirror and they're going to decide, I'm going to wear that out today. This morning, Eddie looked in the mirror and he saw his stare. And he went, yep.
That's what right. That's what Spaghetti gets for
I'm going to high five everybody at work today.
That's what Spaghetti gets for making fun of poor Sully and his soccer paint.
That's right.
See,
shame on you, Spaghetti.
Bitten by your own snake, Sully. It's sort of like.
Do you think he like had the Jeter in his left hand? He's like, do I go with the Jeter or do I go with the classic Mattingly? What am I going to do here?
Bernie never got enough love.
I got a Posada.
Bernie never got enough respect for what he did.
I'm going to go with a Posada. Nobody wears the Posada, but I'm going to wear it tomorrow.
Is Girardi
It's going to be like, damn, you got a Posada? I'm going to be like, yeah, I got a Posada.
Is Joe Girardi forgiven?
Paulio!
No, Joe Girardi is not forgiven.
Oh, see?
He still cannot manage a bullpen properly.
Well, I'm just, you're the fan. I got to ask you.
He does not shift away. I know you're an analytics person, but he does not shift away from managing, like, without his binder. And it's very frustrating. You have to have a feel for the game. Ooh. Terry Francona has feel for the game. Joe Girardi does not, but luckily
don't
the team.
You patronize Cynthia
really
like that.
Saying
he needs to pay attention to the analytics more. That's what this guy needs to do.
Well, it's the opposite.
I know you're an analytics guy.
No,
oh, you're the opposite. Saying, oh, you're saying more
saying,
gut.
He's too by the book.
Oh, I thought he said he didn't look at the binder.
How about Brad Ausmus? You think I love him? He's my favorite. He got fired by the Tigers, but he's my favorite. Anyways, yeah, he'll probably go somewhere else.
Spaghetti.
Anyways,
doing okay. You're feeling happy about the Yanks.
I'm very confident.
Pennant?
Very, very confident.
That's how these New York fans
don't
get.
Say that, Spaghetti.
The love of
just
all
say yes.
Talks.
I'm excited. You don't have to say I'm not excited. I'm confident.
Hey, here's what we'll keep a nice low profile for about 8-10 years. But then when we win one series, then we start back.
Watch. Remember where you heard it first, Spaghetti.
Suffice to say, very confident. Period. Enough said.
I did not come out of the woodwork. I've been a very strong Yankees fan forever. I watched probably 100, I'd say close to 150 games this year.
150 games, what I watched. What did you watch, Sheck? I watched 150 games. Tell me I can't be confident.
Sitting over there flapping your gums like Mr. Big Shot. I'm over here watching the ball game.
I was supposed to be working and raising kids. You know what I was doing? Watching games.
Oh, Henry, tell your mates to settle down on poor Spaghetti.
I do feel bad for Spaghetti.
Why does
he just throw himself
always
back in.
Oh, man.
Why does Hank's mom always yell?
I don't know.
How
would I know?
You use your British accent, you go up.
My responsibility? You know? Trying to deal with Roethlisberger. Now you're throwing her on my plate,
What are you
too?
Looking for, Dave? You seem unsettled.
Dave, question mark.
I dropped my water.
Okay. Dave. Yes. Roethlisberger, top three good dudes in the league?
Well, I mean, let's.
What's the good dude analytic? I don't run 10,000 simulations.
No,
like
he's
good
the
dude.
Gut guy. He's the gut guy.
I say all the time, the good guys are the best guys are J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson. People make their jokes about them. They go to children's hospitals. Anybody who does that, that's the best guy there is. Anybody who goes and visits sick kids. Everybody else goes to number two in my book.
Got
all
it.
Right. Now, let's get to it, and we'll start with Cindy's favorite team, the Detroit Lions, heading down to NOLA to play Drew Brees and company. 9-9, two Texas guys at quarterback.
Enough.
Cindy.
Whoa.
Let's start it off with MVP's TV describe.
Yeah.
Do that.
It's drama week.
Oh.
Ooh.
I love it. I love
drama.
On this episode of Lions vs. Saints, it's called 6 Feet Unger. Max Unger snaps at Drew Brees after he can no longer put up with the QB's incessant shouting of nonsense words from a mere 6 inches away. Alvin Kamara goes through a rough breakup with Darius Slay, sending him to a downward spiral for plays and plays. Marvin Jones stands in the middle of the field, desperately hoping that Matt Stafford will finally notice him.
Mm. Very nice. Powerful.
Tell Spaghetti to stop barking in the background about his Yanks, too. Stop it.
Dude, Andy Pettit, 98. Enough said.
I mean, am I really?
He was like 12 in 98.
Am I sticking my neck out too far? No. I watched the games. Emma, that was a great read.
That was very good.
It was amazing.
Thank you.
Cindy Freeland.
I'll be honest, if I may, I would just maybe like a little jazz. If it's in New Orleans in the Big Easy and it's the birthplace of one of the original American inventions, jazz music.
1987-ish was when dramas in movies and TVs really peaked with the saxophone.
Well, we used to have saxes and sax solos in all of our rock songs. And it was a sax solo instead of a guitar solo in the,
Can we get her auto-tune?
You belong to the city. You belong to the night.
But there's a lot of the soulful sax line
yes.
in movies and
yes.
TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said.
It's gone.
All right. Sorry, Emma.
Oh, that's cool. I went with more of like a Law and Order.
Yes. I guess they do have a New Orleans installment
true.
Of it.
And there you go. Yeah. See, that's another
fun.
Example of money just pushing you to be your best.
Thanks, money.
So I'm here.
Lying.
I like to push you to be your best. You know who else is at their best? The Yankees.
That's Judge.
Gerard is a dope. I could get him to a series, too. When's it my shot?
I can't get him.
Lions, Saints, choose.
I do not like the Lions O-line. They have allowed 6 sacks in 2 consecutive games, so 6 and 6. That'd be 12 in 2 games. Yowzas, I'm going Saints.
All right, handsome people.
You got to throw some.
I switched it on you. I'm sorry, MVP.
Explain yourself,
I really
handsome.
Thought I was going to.
I'm sorry, MVP. That did switch it for me from
yeah.
my original thing. After
I thought I was going
little...
to pepper you.
Whoa. We got a little. The reason it switched was the Lions. So I do my projections on Tuesdays to begin with. And then there was an IR designation for one of the defensive players for the Lions. And it switched the thing. It was a very close projection. Before.
Really?
Yep.
Who was it? Who's on IR?
Help me out with it.
Jared Davis?
The other one. Help. Hold on.
And that's enough to just flip it. See, I'm a heart guy. While you're working with your brain, I don't need my brain.
Explain yourself.
I'm going with my head. I believe that Matthew Stafford, although he's been
Haloti Ngata.
Oh, Haloti Ngata's out. That's right.
Thank you. Haloti Ngata. Can you redo that? Yeah.
I believe that the Lions are going to get things going. I thought you were about to throw something at me.
I'm thinking about it.
You cut your latch. I believe that the Lions are going to get their running game going. And try and take the pressure off Matthew Stafford, who's going to be hobbling around a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think they'll be able to do that against the Saints.
I got the Saints winning it 34-26. It's an old thing, but it happens to remain true that Drew Brees at home under that
yeah,
dome plays well.
He's going to put up 30 points.
Coming off a bye. Big day for him. And
0-3 against the Lions, though. Oh, non-predictive stat. Got you.
Burn.
And I think now that they've unmuddled things with the removal of number 28.
A lot of Kamara. A lot
yes.
more Kamara.
I love Kamara in this game. I think if you're looking for fantasy upside, Kamara.
And Abdullah. How about a 100-yard rusher?
And,
Who wants in? 100-yard rusher, first time in 56 games,
you
Lions.
You could see.
Abdullah, yeah, who wants it?
It's today.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
and you could see, you actually could see Theo Riddick's short passing game. Ebron has been largely ineffective.
Because he has no hands. He's got tennis rackets for hands. That's
he's
why
robot.
He's effective.
He's a robot.
When and I'm wrong.
Darren Fells, though, catching those touchdowns.
Darren Fells, yeah. But I think Theo Riddick, if you're real desperate and you need an upside pick, Theo Riddick could be one there, especially with PPR. But Abdullah, Kamara, even Ingram all have nice fantasy projections.
All right, let's move on, as a matter of fact, and tackle next Handsome Hank's favorite team, the one helmed by Cuddy.
Oof.
The Cuddy Sharks.
Cuddy Express.
Oof, the last 2 weeks football you've had to watch, Hank.
Miami
I don't
and
have
Atlanta.
To watch them. I switch them on.
You choose to
you
watch
like,
them.
Tell
like
us
them
the
too.
Dramatic details, MVP.
Okay, and this episode is called Jay's Anatomy. Unsatisfied with his current position, Jay Cutler takes a long look at himself and his choices, pondering what his life would be like if he had taken his time out. A great reader of people, Matt Ryan can tell something's up with Julio when he gets short with him in the first half. Tevin backs up Devontae when coach berates him for dropping the ball in a big spot.
Mm.
All right, handsome. There you have it. Well done. I like that. That was, see, now that was Grey's Anatomy sound-alike sound. Doo-dee-doo-dee-doo-dee. Handsome.
I just like the idea.
It was a Law and Order song.
I just did.
It was still Law and Order.
Still the same
yeah.
song.
I envision Cutler shirtless, cigarette, looking in the mirror saying, maybe I should have taken that time out.
I think he opens up his computer,
like
checks his bank account, and he's like, yeah, I'm okay.
Don't care.
Handsome, your guys.
This is nobody's taking the Dolphins.
Dave,
the Falcons not only win this, they win this by 25 points.
No one's going to even attack. You know what? Falcons.
They've got a good defense. The Dolphins defense is playing
But
their offense cannot put up. We'll be lucky if it puts up 12 points.
And Devontae Parker might not even play.
Right.
I think the Falcons needed bye. I think there was an
Good old Kenny.
I think there was an emotional element that was working against the Falcons in the first month, which is coming all the off season of like, 28-3 questions, and can you get it right in 2017 and overcome what happened to you in the Super Bowl and all that. Then, so they have that big thing. They almost lose in Chicago. Then they have the big splashy debut of the new stadium. Mm-hmm. That probably,
emotional outpouring.
All that kind of stuff. They haven't looked as good as they looked a year ago, but I think that defense is going to start getting it going as Vic Beasley starts getting back into form. I say Falcons 28-19 at home. That's it? We have nothing else to add?
I have 18. 28-18.
I have 35-10.
The only
45-10?
35-10.
Okay. The only asterisk this one gets is that the Dolphins, this predates Adam Gase, certainly predates Jay Cutler. But the Dolphins are one of those weird teams that they win when you don't think they're going to win, and then they lose when you think they're whichever.
I go back to what Cynthia pointed out after the Chargers lost that game against Miami, and it is that it's it was an 18% chance of getting a kick blocked from 43 yards away in that first week, and it's like a 7% chance of missing a game-winning field goal from 44 yards, and that was the game. You know, I think the Dolphins are more of a 1-3 team than a 2-2 team, and the Falcons look to be considerably better.
They are.
And taking advantage of a team that's 1-3 and not playing good football.
The best part about this conversation was when you call him Kenneth Stills. It's like that moment in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead when the little brother Kenny comes down. And he's like being a server, and he goes from Kenny to Kenneth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about?
By the way, as a side note, no, I don't. But as a
great
side
movie.
Note,
Don't Lizzie Shue. Lizzie Shue.
Thank you.
She's the best.
She is.
Undefeated in my heart.
That's why Daniel San was so taken with her. He was willing to put his whole world on the line. So, too, was Johnny. Johnny was, too. They both.
They're willing to fight over.
Yeah. So are we saying, by the way, bottom line, just real quick, 5 weeks in or 4 weeks into the Jay Cutler reemergence, is this all? Can we just hang this all on him?
No.
If Ryan Tannehill were under center, would we be talking about another playoff bid for this team and everything?
I think the difference is that their offensive line hasn't really improved year over year, but Ryan Tannehill was able to use his feet.
Somebody
I don't know if you heard
that,
he was a receiver.
Somebody should coach that offensive line up a little bit.
Well, yes, they've... I'm surprised you don't have a better line for that.
Yeah, you're that fell flat. You're better than that.
No, there are lines for it.
They need energy.
They didn't seem straight.
We done?
Yep.
MVP, Packers and Vikings are playing each other. Tell us about it.
All right, this episode is called Diggs' Little Lies. Aaron Rodgers showcases his flair for dramatic, waiting until the very last second to throw a crossing to the wind and take a chance on a persistent Devontae Adams. In the interest of reconnecting with his QB, Diggs delves into a down-to-earth dialogue about his addiction to the end zone. Xavier Rhodes shadows Jordy Nelson with not-so-secret intentions of sabotaging his afternoon.
Matt Money Smith, Packers, Vikings.
Keeps bringing the hits.
Jeez.
Come on, I'm not going to get hit with any of these. I'm taking the Packers.
Really? No one's taking the Vikes at home?
Really?
Aaron Rodgers. It's the Aaron Rod. How often? I brought this up on the old Game Theory and Money podcast, if I may use a shameless plug.
Love it.
Love that show.
I find myself never picking against Aaron Rodgers. I've now realized that like any time Green Bay is involved, I just always pick the Packers because I won't pick against the best quarterback in the game. I can't bring myself to do it.
How to make sense of that? By the way, I have the Packers winning a relatively close one, 24-21 up in the Twin Cities. Where do we come down on this? Because it is a legitimate question that I don't have a good answer to. How somebody who's better with making words in English than I am, MVP, you count in that group, so help me out here. How to make sense of the fact that I say Aaron Rodgers, and I stand by it, is the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Brady is
who's
the best quarterback
best,
ever.
I can't make
not
sense
Marino.
Of that.
Not Marino. How
How is he's the
Aaron
best quarterback?
Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback I've ever seen. And I don't think – and but I'm not the only one to say it. I wouldn't say this is my own conundrum. Everybody says this now. Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback of all time. Tom Brady, best quarterback of all time. Well, both things can't be true. Cindy, which is it?
I think Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback right now. I don't know about – with historical context, you have to be very careful because the game was different. How many times
maybe
you passed,
that's how
run.
You say it. Brady's the best – of all time, Aaron Rodgers is the best right now. Both of those things can be true.
Brady's having a career year this year, and if by a lot of ways that you would measure yards per game, completion percentage, all these things that are statistically driven. But the problem is his defense is also putting him in a situation to have to throw for over 300 yards a game and to have to achieve these huge benchmarks.
Maybe Tom's the best winner.
Tom's had the benefit of the best system and his skills fitting that system for the longer time.
Here's a good question. I'm trying to think of a way to create a hypothetical. Let's say that you have a pool of all human beings to choose from, and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are the two captains, and they get to draft their teams back mm-hmm. and forth.
Are they immortal?
No,
it's the Highlander. There can be only one.
No. Let's say it's just the world as it stands as we
so
sit
it's
here
today.
In October 2017.
So it's today. So yes. It's Tom Brady today.
Right. You can't
age
take,
40.
Right. You can't take Jerry Rice. Neither guy can have 28-year-old Jerry Rice. So go ahead. Who wins that game? Aaron Rodgers v. Tom Brady. They get to choose their side.
Who gets the first pick?
Who do they pick with the first pick?
One's going to take Jerry Rice. The other one's going to take Randy Moss. So, all right. So that answers that.
I will always go with Aaron Rodgers. I really believe him to be the greatest quarterback I, too, have ever seen. Given a choice to have any single individual in the history of the game quarterback a team that I am in control of, I will select Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I love this question. I'm going to have to ask this to a lot of people now. Handsome, what's your opinion?
I would take Dan Marino to...
Oh, Handsome. What a stinker.
Why? That's not...
All right. And you mock me. My guy has two rings. Yours has... Oh.
Well, no, but this is his big opportunity. He's got the pick of every person who ever lived.
All right. Cindy Freeland.
I'll tell you who's got a lot of rings. Jeter.
Greatest leader ever.
That's who's got a tie. He'd be my quarterback.
Willis Reed, dude. Hey, go ahead there, Cindy.
I'm going...
Ewing never got the respect he deserved.
Are you done?
Dave Brown was underrated. That's what I'm here to tell you.
John Van Beesbrook, best between the pipes in a big game ever, period. Next story. Go ahead.
I'm taking Brady. Not because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is exceptional, because I do, but I think that there's something that we can't quantify that has happened with Brady. Like, Aaron Rodgers was expected to be really good, and then the circumstances turned out where he got to learn from one of the best and became exceptional. Brady kind of overcame these odds where the expectations weren't very high. And if you would have said, you know, I'm always sick of where he was drafted. We all know he wasn't drafted in the first round.
Heard
about that, right? But I think that commanding that sort of like mental presence for such a long time and sustaining it, given where you started, there has to be something in that comes from a different place than if the expectations are high and you're just meeting these high expectations. Like, you're kind of like overcoming some odds that other people didn't really have to contend with. And for me, that kind of, you know, that kind of tips it a little bit more in Brady's favor.
Tiki Barber's a disrespectful bum. Kerry Collins carried that team to a Super Bowl. All right. Thank you for that answer. I'm gonna take this out. But you're an analytics person. Does that seem like an interesting hypothetical to you, Cindy?
Certainly.
I think that's a fun one.
There's a lot of different ways to weigh it, right? Because you can't, and they can never play against each other, so it's not like.
Tell you who's got a ring, Jeff Hostetler, the Hoss. Missed that kick, Scott Norwood.
You want to
come at NYC? You better come correct.
Great
better
predictor.
Better not miss, Norwood.
Great predictor of talent and victory. Nose and mustache. I'll take Hostetler. Otis Anderson. Underrated. I don't think Spaghetti even knows what the hell we're talking about at this point, right? Don't even talk to me there. About Dave Maggot.
I don't think he's back there anymore.
Hey, I'm not. I see he's still back.
Oh, he's still there.
There he is.
What is this? I'm a Jets guy.
You old dinosaurs. I wasn't alive for Jeff Hostetler. What are you even talking about? All right, MVP.
The Giants should have won that bowl. They went to Mons Venus the night before. They was tired.
Give me the king between the pipes. End of story. Let's go, MVP. Steelers, Chiefs, tell us all about it.
All right, this episode is called Chartistic Westworld.
Incredibly
frustrated with Marcus Peters' hands-on management style, Antonio Brown goes over his head to get the results he desires. When push comes to shove, Charkandrick West gets the job done again, earning the respect of digital investors who predicted a rise in his stock. Roethlisberger's passion is called into question after he questions his own passion.
Get out of Manhattan, Phil Jackson. Go back surfing, burn some tree, why don't you? We don't need you here. The Knickerbockers are better off without you. Boom. Gone.
Two words. Bernie King.
Bernie King. All right, here we go. Cindy Freeland. It all comes down to this. Steelers. Chiefs.
Can we just all give our flags to Sheck so we can throw all three of them?
You know what?
I like that you picked me for this so you could throw the flag in.
I'm definitely not throwing this.
Where's my pick on this?
You don't remember your pick?
They're right there. It says Sheck's week six picks over there.
Right here. Oh, yeah, look, I just cheated. You have the same one as me, Kansas City Chiefs.
Everyone's picking the Chiefs.
Yes, yeah. Dave.
No faith in the Steelers.
No.
That'd be you.
You're the one that's supposed to have the faith.
That'd be you.
Hey, like I said, I suspect that 7 is going to come out and look good. I think the team in general is going to look good. The Chiefs happen to have that buzzsaw feel to them right now. They're riding high. Justin Houston is always tough to handle. Although, with the injury stuff happening there, we talk about Jenga piece a lot on this show, and if you remove the wrong piece, the whole thing implodes.
Non-quarterback.
Non-QB. Eric Berry, as great as he is, the Jenga piece of the Kansas City Chiefs is Justin Houston. And if he ain't right, then that improves the Steelers' chances greatly. I also think I would be very surprised, in fact, if Todd Haley and Ben Roethlisberger himself both decided, hey, you know what, let's put it on my right arm here. I think it's going to be a 26 game just like it was, not because it was successful when they did that in January last and went up there and won that divisional round game. But
they beat them twice last year, right?
They did. They whipped them the first time in Heinz Field. Then they survived that tough one in that weird
cold. Remember how it was late, wasn't it?
They changed the game time.
Yeah.
Because it was the
right. It was so cold.
And all that stuff. And I think you're going to see a lot of 26 in this one. I wish I had my score, though. Why didn't I pick the score for that game, MOVP?
Well, just tell us. Use your heart and use your head and just tell us what you think.
I'll give you a score. 9-1 Yankees, game one over the Astros. There's your score.
Mariano Rivera, the best to ever do it. Boom.
Ever.
Sit down. Sit down. Don't even get up. Rivera's going to sit you down in 2 minutes anyway. Save your energy, bum. I'm going to take the Chiefs in this one. I'm going to take the Chiefs. Spaghetti, are you all right?
Wait, how many losses would that make it for the Steelers then?
That would make 3.
This is your last loss for the Steelers.
That's how Dave predicted it.
What happens
when he did his predictive analytics on
what
the season?
What happens week? You can
make they win the next 10.
You can make all your fun you want, but the facts are the facts. In 5 straight years, Damashek sat in this very chair in August and told you what the Steelers' record was going to be.
What are you going to do?
And then after New Year's Day, you patted me on the back and said, you did it again, Dave. You did it again. I'm like Batman, you know, like why? I'm very much like Batman in this way. You know, this guy's a do-gooder. All he does, he makes it right for Gotham, you know. I make these picks right. And yet, at the first sign of trouble, Commissioner Gordon's the first one to be like, you know, that was every episode of the Batman series is always like, you know, maybe because Penguin or Joker would always try to frame Batman, you know, and Commissioner Gordon would take the bait every time.
Every
time.
Maybe
Batman is up to no good. Like, well, how much more do I have to do for you, handsome? You understand? Your mate Dave alone, Henry.
You know who I'd put at left tackle? Jim Leyritz. That's what I would do to fix the G-men.
That guy's got grit for days.
Eric Flowers is a bum. Sorry, Eddie.
He's not.
I can't stop. I apologize.
Straight up, that Allen Houston contract was an abomination.
Steph Curry. I saw Steph Curry 10 years ago. His name was Allen Houston.
Trade Kristaps Porzingis. Trade yourself, you lousy bum. Boom.
Kobe.
Big story.
How about that punch from Childs, Kobe? You bum.
John Starks missed a few, but he's a good man. He's a dead-eye assassin.
Every team needs grit. The X-Men, Mason, Harper. I can go on for days.
All right. I think that's it for today. Do you think we should wrap it up there, Spaghetti, or do you want to keep going? It's up to you.
Give him the last word.
Keep going. I need more New York references. I'm pretty shocked. You guys know your stuff.
for a couple of idiots, yeah. You guys aren't too shabby.
You guys didn't even grow up listening to Francesa and the other guy, but you guys know your stuff.
You a Francesa guy or a Russo guy?
I'm a Boomer and a gambling guy.
Oh, yeah.
I like Boomer. Boomer and Card was my favorite show ever, but I do work with Mad Dog. So
you have to pick Chris?
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. It's a Charger scenario for me.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I'm going to put it back on him. Hey, you. It's like the Chargers. I work with Russo. I feed him everything he knows.
Talking at me like I'm Spider. Who do you think I am? Hey, Pesci, settle
Spider.
Down over there. You're going to get yours. You know what I'm talking about?
Spider.
Boom, two in the back of the head. That's what you'll get.
He does look a little bit like Spider, actually.
He looks nothing like Spider. Spaghetti looks nothing like Spider. But you know what, though? Spider Spaghetti is not bad.
Not bad.
All right, Eddie Spaghetti's out. Hello,
sorry,
Spider
Emma.
Spaghetti. Don't do that on my watch.
I ruined another podcast. My apologies.
All right, Emma VP, you've done it once again. All the best, Cindy Freeland, Matt Money Smith with the Free Money Podcast. Check it out.
Time.
The Pick'em Show. I forgot the
Oh, boy,
Pick'em!
This isn't going to go well.
Pick'em.
Get it in.
What time's it on, Dave?
It's on at
9.
11? No, it's on at 11 a.m. Eastern.
What day?
On Saturday.
Right.
It's on Saturday.
Night.
9 a.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. You can start the music again while we do this. Here we go. Ready?
You should start again as well.
It's on.
Because you said two different
NFL
things.
Pick'em this Saturday and every Saturday of the season. 9 a.m. Eastern. 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Eastern, then again for the early birds or the night owls, either way, on Sunday, 6 a.m. for you. Four chances to catch us telling you who's going to win all the games. We just told you who's going to win a few of them. But you know what? There's some other games that we could talk about. We could sit here and make fun of Spider Spaghetti all day, but that's it. Check out Matt Money Smith on the radio. Petros and Money Show, and then catch him calling the L.A. Chargers games. Have fun up in the East Bay. Go eat some nice
Thank
food.
You.
Good food up there in Oakland.
Yes.
People don't know about the good food in Oakland. I've had some good meals up there. Not San Francisco. Handsome Hank.
I'm not stepping in.
Not
in a thin slice of heaven.
Yeah.